So welcome along. We're on this class called Death and Rebirth, and today is quite an in-depth teaching. So we'll go through it in a way I hope you'll be able to stand. I'll try and give you some experience on what we're talking about, rather than just intellectual knowledge. But sometimes this material is so deep it won't even get in. So you walk about up here with not much to take away. So we'll do some experiential stuff today. But we'll begin as we normally do by sort of getting into a relaxed, open state so that the knowledge will come in and settle down. And then we'll do it for a good purpose, good reason. So please, first, just get comfortable in your seat. You want to have your back straight, your feet on the floor if possible. You want to be sort of rooted, stable. Let your shoulders drop down and relax. And now you can close your eyes or keep them partially open. The purpose for keeping them partially open is that you get a little bit of light in and then you don't fall asleep or nod off. Now just check your shoulders. If you like, you can raise them up to your ears and then just drop them down so you know, oh, that's what it feels like to be relaxed. And now just let your body breathe itself just as it does throughout the day. So your body is breathing itself. You are aware of that. You can feel the movements that are taking place within the body. You might also be able to hear the air conditioning and passing traffic. So the body is relaxing and the mind or awareness is open and receptive. I want you just to relax into awareness itself. Well, within this state of awareness, imagine that the ground you're actually seated upon, or whatever supports you, is like starry sapphire light. It's very soft. And the space above you is filled with rainbows and offerings. And in the space in front of you, on a throne, sitting on cushions of a lotus, sun and moon, is the Buddha. And Buddha Shakyamuni is surrounded by an assembly of other Buddhas, bodhisattvas, deities, and enlightened beings. Meanwhile, you yourself are surrounded by all sentient beings, beings just like yourself. These include your mother and father, family members, friends, strangers, and difficult people. And you now recollect how fortunate you are to still be alive today. Because death can take place at any time. In fact, there are more causes that support your death than your life. So while you are living, you have the leisure and opportunity to attain a spiritual goal. But we need to act quickly because things are not quite right. The world doesn't exist as it seems to us. Now, although this is the case, we have been fortunate enough to meet a spiritual friend who is leading us in the safe direction of the three rare sublime ones, the Buddha, his teachings called the Dharma, and his community called the Sangha. So to make this practice that we're doing as purely as possible, I want you to imagine yourself to be as clear as a deity. And you're holding a Vajra belt. Symbolizing skillful methodology, and wisdom, realizing emptiness. And you're sitting within a sphere of great bliss. Acknowledging the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas above you and in front of you, and all sentient beings surrounding you. You put your hands together in the prayer mudra and you recite, I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. In response, this wish of yours to develop your wisdom and your compassion and every other skillful means you have to benefit sentient beings. Lights and nectars pour from the heart of each enlightened being. And they stream down upon yourself and all the beings surrounding you. Light and nectar dissolves into you, purifies negative karma and obstructions. Your health and lifespan are increased. Your virtues and the Dharma realizations also increase. So cleansed by wisdom and love and empowered by them, you recollect the four immeasurable thoughts and you decide to develop these yourself and to establish all beings into these four immeasurable states. And so you say, may all sentient beings have happiness and its causes. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and its causes. May all sentient beings never be separated from the happiness that is without suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from the bias of attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. So long as this is its intention to do in response to this intention of yours, from the heart of each enlightened being, lights and nectars stream down. And these dissolve into yourself and all living beings who surround you. Negative karmas and obstructions are purified. They cannot produce negative effects. And so your health and lifespan are increased, along with your virtues and Dharma realizations. So feeling empowered by these four thoughts, along with the wisdom that realizes they're all empty of any intrinsic existence, just relax into awareness. And from this state of awareness, invite the field for accumulating greater merit. They appear. In front of them, you join your hands together in the prayer mudra, and you say, reverently, I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present clouds of every type of offering, actual and imagined. I declare all my negative actions accumulated since beginningless time and rejoice in the merit of all holy and ordinary beings. Please remain until the end of cyclic existence and turn the wheel of Dharma for living beings. I dedicate my own and others' merits to the great enlightenment. To prevent our clinging to the purified state and the merit we've accumulated, we imagine that our body and all enjoyments that we possess and every merit that we have exactly transformed into a pure land. And we offer this to the Buddha and his entourage. And so we say, as a form of offering, this ground, anointed with perfumes, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings enjoy this pure land. Idam gur. The Buddha accepts your offering and he smiles at you. And you look up into his face and into his eyes. In the eyes of the Buddha, you find immense humility, deep wisdom, kindness, and acceptance. And in that gaze, you recollect your wish to abandon the causes of suffering. You recollect the mind of enlightenment, that you wish to do this to bring all beings to the magnificent state of Buddhahood. And you realize that this all depends upon the correct view, that all phenomena are empty and dependently originated. So in response to your understanding, infinite life rays emanate from the heart of the Buddha. They reach you, all environments and all beings. And everything dissolves into light. Which dissolves into the Buddha. And he diminishes in size, moves through space, comes to abide above the crown of your head, and begins to descend down to your heart. The bare face of your innate mind. The covering of the perception of true existence and perceiving it as true vanishes. So your mind and the mind of the Buddha become of one nature. Within that nature, you hear the mantra of Shakyamuni Buddha. And hearing it, you begin to recite it. Tayata Now from your heart, rays of light fill the 10 directions of space. And every sentient being abiding within space is utterly transformed into a fully awakened state of omniscient Buddhahood. The deepest purpose of every life you've ever lived is accomplished. The 10 directions of space, the light begins to withdraw and it re-enters your heart. You feel your body breathing itself. You feel the seat beneath you. And you can hear different sounds. That's from this embodied state. You acknowledge that this meditation is one of imagination. And this imagination has imprinted the mind with this possibility for full awakening. And you know that this possibility requires more than imagination. It requires study, reflection, meditation. It requires you finding an authentic teacher and engaging in the path with authenticity yourself. And so now you're going to breathe in deeply through your nostrils and exhale through your mouth. Let your eyes flutter open in your own time. Move your fingers, hands, your legs, move your shoulders. Blink your eyes and bring this presence back into this room. Okay, so again, welcome. So this is class seven. So I'll just briefly go over this, what we've gone through, probably even a more brief fashion than I have done in the past, because this has got a lot of material in today's class. So we began our very first class. We talked about impermanence and worldly concern. We know that when we talk about impermanence, we can look at it in two ways. Gross, which means you just can see impermanence take place with your senses. You see a chair break, you see a building fall, you know that somebody dies. A gross change takes place, you're aware of it. Subtle impermanence, you can't get it through your senses like that. You have to sort of think about it. So it's a conceptualizing process. And what it means is that things don't endure for a second moment beyond the time of its occurrence. That is subtle impermanence. We're undergoing that right now. Everything around us is. Now, worldly concern comes up where you don't actually realize that. So you have attachment towards these things that are actually all falling apart, that are not stable. And you have aversion to that also. You want things to remain stable. You want the good things just to remain, but they can't. So this is a sort of mistake of ours. And this mistake prevents us engaging in an authentic spiritual path, because we get wrapped up in these things we desire and that we're averse to. And we don't have a bigger picture. We don't sort of acknowledge that this life will come to an end. So what was the point of it all? Should have been doing something else. What this basically means is that we've forgotten to recollect our death. In other words, we've forgotten about death. So there are six problems about forgetting about death, and six benefits when we do recollect death. And these can all be summed up in a type of meditation called the Nine Reasons Meditation. So they're what they call the three roots, the nine reasons, and the three conclusions. The three roots are, these are important, is the first thing, you must acknowledge that you will die. Death is certain. And the conclusion from that is, I have to practice Dharma. The time of death is uncertain. So the conclusion is, I have to practice Dharma right now. And I say, at the time of death, only the Dharma will help you. So what Dharma is it that you want to practice at the time of death? You are a pure Dharma. A Dharma with no clinging or craving to this life and worldly concerns. My aim is beyond now. My aim is my future life, liberation or enlightenment, to make it pure aspiration, pure Dharma. And when we do that, we can bring into play what they call the five forces that you can apply at the time of death. So those five forces are an intention to bring about the result you seek. Familiarity. Basically, this mind here means lying in the correct position when you die. Many great practitioners sit up and die. Probably we won't be able to do that. We'll be lying down. So go, okay, what's the best way of lying down and doing this? So until we do that. Yeah. Then there's what they call the white seed, which is just trying to go in the mind of virtue, positive mind of virtue. What will prevent that is your own fears. So you've got to repudiate the fears. All the fears are based around self-grasping, a false idea of who you are and what's going on. So you don't want that to come up at that time. And then finally, aspiring to achieve your goal. So whether that be a Pure Land, future rebirth as a human being, so you can continue the spiritual path, liberation or enlightenment. Then there's actual dying, like what happens when you actually die? So we went through that, we talked about the different visions you experience, the different stages of dissolution of the body and consciousness. And when we die, dying is one of the causes of that is karma. And what happens? The experience of death is also depend upon karma, and then your rebirth is dependent upon karma. Right? So we talked about that last week. So when we are reborn, we will find ourselves in a different sort of state. It might be just like this, hopefully it is, or it could be worse, or it could be better. And that's entirely upon you now. If you train yourself now, you can determine how you will die and where you could be reborn. If you don't train yourself, then it's up to karma and your own delusory states. So our topics today are about these realms called samsaric realms. So this is the samsaric realms that you can find yourself when you're reborn is primarily because we haven't realized emptiness. We've got this great wisdom of how things exist. And we don't really have renunciation to these states. We might not like the states, but we really haven't worked upon the causes that produce them. So the causes take place anyway. And so we're going to look at these, what these realms are. And the realms can actually be divided into two. There's upper realms and lower realms. Upper realms refers to realms where you experience less suffering. The lower realms, it's a greater amount of suffering. But within, whether you're in upper realms or lower realms, it's pervaded by suffering. Yeah. So sometimes it's like finding yourself in jail. You can either be out in the yards where it's terrible, or you might be in the kitchen and you can get a good feed. Yeah. It's like us, it's like we're here in Australia, and then there could be people living in the Sahara and Northern Africa, and it's much worse to live there. All we're humans, but we all know there's places where it's worse to be a human. Here it's pretty good. And so we'll talk about those lower realms. So it's the karma that shapes our reality across the different realms of existence. Okay, so in terms of how we could sort of get some inkling of what this might be like, we can discover that while we're here. When you experience, like, say something really good that's going to happen today, right? Maybe we're going to go out after the class sometime, I'm going for a picnic and I'm going down to the beach with my family, we're going to have a great time. So you start like looking forward to that. You have this desire for that to take place. And then if you look outside and suddenly the weather changes, it's like, oh my gosh, right? Like maybe it's not going to happen. But you want it to happen. So we have this craving for the good time. Right? So this is one of the problems of we call this realm of samsara, driven by desire and craving. There are other times when you might notice it and go, oh my gosh, my mind is like, it's getting a little bit agitated. So what can I do? It's like, well, I'll focus on my breath. I'll calm down. And so you do. And so this agitation disappears and you become calmer. That's what they call like the form realm. And then if you get really good at it, you end up in like a sense of spaciousness. And this is what they call the formless realm. But it's all taking place within your own body and mind. Right? They're all realms of samsara. So we have the desire realm that we can experience in our own mind. We have a form mind where you basically, that all drops away and just come down to the subtle breath. There's form there, it's the breath. And you still get a relaxed state. And if you relax deeper enough, that'll disappear too. And you'll still be there, you'll still be present. But you will still die. It doesn't stop there. So it's like the formless realm. So these are the three realms that we can experience within samsara. And so I'll talk about those today and, like I said, how they take place. How can we experience them in terms of rebirth and in terms of everyday experience? So if you do this, I've relied upon these books. And in particular, there's a book here called Science and Philosophy. That gives you the real deep info. But it's a bit scholastic, so it's quite dry. Another book here called Samsara and Nirvana and Buddha Nature, that's much more easier to get into. And so if you're going to look at this material, that's probably the place you'd want to start. It's deep, but it's spoken of in quite a conversational manner. It's very easy to understand. Everybody here would, I think, be able to read it and comprehend where the science and philosophy, and it's, you might want to have a dictionary beside you, even though it tells you all about it. So let's talk about these realms of rebirth within samsara. I should also say, so this material, much of it will be new to you, and you will probably have questions that just pop up in your mind, you want to ask them. So if it does, please write it down, because we're going to have two periods where we actually stop, and then you can ask your questions, and then I'll do my best to answer them. So these realms are rebirth within samsara. So the first realm is called the desire realm. This is the realm we find ourselves in. So I've got a number there, and I'll tell you why that number's there shortly. What the causes are to take rebirth in this desire realm are virtue and non-virtue. For us to find ourselves as human beings in this realm, the cause is virtue. So at some stage in some other life, a person died and they had a virtuous mind. And now we inhabit this consciousness. Now we are that, we're the new person. This major cause was virtue. So from a Buddhist perspective, it's really important to die with a mind of virtue, a positive, virtuous mind. Because then that could give you something like what we've got, right? Which in many ways is this way where we can actually acknowledge what suffering is, find out what its causes are, and stop. So this is human beings have got the best opportunity to do that because of their intelligence. And because of this body we have. So the causes of it, like I said, are virtue and non-virtue. And any type of suffering or happiness you experience in this life is due to virtue or non-virtue. So if you want to be happy in this life, create virtue. If you want to experience more suffering for yourself, do the opposite. So this is this realm we find ourselves in. Within it are other phenomena like the animals. So you can see across it and go, what's the cause of their rebirth? What is it? It's not like ours, right? So what's the sort of lower realm rebirth? So the cause of that is non-virtue. I'll just name some of the things. So for us, it's like the causes are, for those who are reborn into this realm of desire, who have the mind of virtue at the time of death, the human beings, and what they call the gods. So I'll talk about those later. I'll just mention them now. Right? So we've got gods and human beings, the gods within samsara. The cause of that rebirth is virtue. But anything beneath it, like animals, what they call pretas or hungry ghosts, and hell realm beings, the cause of their birth within this realm of desire is non-virtue. So that's in a brief, that's that, right? Now the next. There's another type of realm, which is also in samsara. It's called the form realm. It says, so this realm is a realm of, and this is where what they call the gods of the form realm live. To actually find yourself there, to be reborn there, depends upon what you do now. It's going to be next, right? So it could be next where you find yourself there in terms of rebirth, but you could experience it now because it depends upon concentration. So you could be like a human, have the human body in the desire realm, but have the mind of a form realm being. The difference in terms of the experience is there's no pain in the form realm. So here we experience states of suffering, states of happiness, and neutral states. In the form realm, it's neutral and happy. They do not have any harm because to get there, you have to have renunciation. You have to abandon the causes of these more obvious forms of suffering. And you can do that with concentration. It doesn't always require emptiness. You just suppress them. And so you can't cause yourself mentally any suffering here because you've repressed the causes. So no suffering in this realm. It's a mental state that you can experience in this body. And it's the same for the next one, the formless realms. It's just there, the concentration is even deeper and the experiences are much more subtle. And there's no feelings, it's a state of neutrality. So it's not good feelings or bad feelings, just falling away. It's just this neutral state. No conception, no thinking. You just blissed out, basically. And all these states are within samsara. And I've put numbers there because you'll see they add up to 33. And this is the way I've decided the 33 classes of beings or planes of existence that you can experience within samsara. I gave a metaphor to Miffy this morning and said, oh, that's a great one, right? So I'll give you two, explain two ways so you could sort of get an idea. So you know when you go to the ocean, right? You're gonna have a swim and you look at it and there's waves. Right? That's the desire realm. It's up and down. Really obvious, right? You get in there, they can splash your face. You might be happy, you might be a little bit tricky, isn't it? Right? There's the waves, depending how big they are, they're choppy. That's the desire realm. You dive beneath it, you don't get all that happening. That's the form realm. It's clear, you're still in the water, but you're not getting all that choppy stuff. If you go even deeper, it's even more still, more and more still. So if you'd be up the top, you feel the current, you still move around a bit. But it's not like up on top of the waves. And you go even deeper, there's not even that. Because as you probably know, there's this really massive pressure, isn't there, of the water, right? So it's like very, very still. Another metaphor that might be useful for you is you think of a tornado, right? Or a cyclone. Where's it the worst? Up the top, eh? On the outside, up the top, right? You look at those things, they're swimming, the big circle up there, and there's the cows and the chairs and the houses, and everything's just whoa, right? So that's up there, but then, like, when you come down, right, it's still windy, isn't it? There's still a lot of force there, and you come right down, and this is like the form realm, the wind. And then you get to the eye of the cyclone, and that's like the formless realm. It's going on, but it's very still. So in terms of the human, you can get a very, very still mind. You're still here, but you experience this great stillness and peacefulness. You come out of it, you can be aware of your breathing. You know you're breathing, your body is moving. But because you're focused on it, you're not upset about anything, you're not thinking about anything, you're just experiencing your breath. And then when you don't do that, then it's all the whirly-girly, isn't it? You think about all sorts of stuff. Right? And that's the desire realm. I'll tell you, we'll come to it. That's what we're going to do. So first of all, I just want to tell you that they're there.
And this breakout form.
Yeah, so we've got like 11 classes of beings within the desire realm, 18 within the form realms, and 4 within the formless realm.
It's all over. I'm free. I'm safe. And that's kind of like the formless realm. You could think that, but you're still in samsara.
Yeah.
It's just that it's not apparent.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens in these realms. They say there's a type of realm that they call them the cognitionless gods. So these people think that it's fantastic. It's like, well, they don't even think. You don't think. Right? And then when the conditions that support that finish, you have to come out. And then they think. And what they think is, I'm going to die. Right? There's this great fear. So the only thing they think is like, it's over. And it is. And it's like they say, it's a terrible thing because they get the experience that it's terrifying for them. So they just know, like, oh my God,
Here comes the rest of
here
the
comes the worst of it.
cyclone.
It's, yeah, that's right. I'm in the cyclone now. And I have no power to do anything about that. Okay, so let's talk now. So we're going to each of these states now, and then we'll go into the causes. So here we go. This is like this picture, you're probably all familiar with. It's called the Wheel of Cyclic Existence, or someone's called the Wheel of Life. Someone's called the Five Links of Dependent Origination. And so this is the center of it and the next thing. So what it's demonstrating here is on these the biggest sections, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These are the realms of rebirth. So you find, so you see humans there, there's animals there, there's the hell realms there, the gods and the devas and so forth. So this is like the top of the cyclone, the waves. Right? This is the top, the big thing. Coming into the bit more, we've got the black and the white and the up and the down. That's demonstrating the causes, the karma that produces that. And what supports that, what's even deeper than that, is the afflictions. And they're in the middle. We've got ignorance, craving or desirous attachment, and hatred. So these three afflictions, you have them, you create activities. The mind supports the body, and the speech and actions follow. And because these actions are not based in reality, but are misapprehending everything, it's all messed up. That samsara, it's all messed up. And then in all that messed up state, we find ourselves, well, here we are, born, living. And so the outside picture shows you that. And in this outside picture, we have what the devas, the asuras, and the humans, and they're in the upper realms of the desire realm. And the animals, the hungry ghosts, and the hell beings, are in the lower realms of this cycle. And there are all sorts of hell realms, hungry ghost realms, and so forth, blah, blah, blah. So I'll go through, so this is the desire realm. Like I said, the major things that happen in this realm, what's really obvious is pain, pleasure, and states of neutrality.
Kind of rare states of neutrality.
Yeah, but again, you know, so if you look, if you're sometimes aware of what's going on in your mind as you go about the day, there are times when you don't think, aren't there? You just chill out. You know, there's no real thinking going on. So it's what we call like a neutral mind. It's not virtuous, it's not wrong, it's just neutral. Other times you find yourself really upset about things, and that's what we call a non-virtuous mind. But other times you can be quite joyful. Feeling happy. So have these states of happiness, unhappiness, and neutrality. And so this is primarily what's going on within this realm of desire. In some states, the pleasure is greater. It's more than the displeasure and the neutrality. In other states, it's the pain is more obvious. And so, like I say, in the hell realms, the pain is much, much greater in terms of pleasure or happiness. No neutral states, it's just suffering. In, like I said, in the human realms, you get a bit of each. Now, in the form realm, so we look at these causes here. The causes are, and it's what you can do now, right, are to focus on a meditative object primarily for the sake of the blissful feelings that arise from concentration. So if you do meditate, your disturbing emotions do decrease. And the primary reason for that is because you're concentrating on something else. And if you like it, as many people do, they want to keep doing it. And so they might decide to keep doing that object, like the breath, for instance. Like at the beginning, it's quite obvious. A change takes place because you're not thinking about the negative stuff. You're not creating it. You're focused on your breath. But as your attention gets more refined, you'll notice that what is this breath? So your attention becomes more refined, more focused, and your disturbing emotions become less and less and less. And it's nice. Then they're called peace, a state of peace. You like it. So you keep doing it. And you want to stay in it longer and longer. That's the cause for the stuff of rebirth. So you do as much as you can now. Come the time of your death, you go, that's what I'm going to do. Right? I do not want my mind to be disturbed. So you lie in that bed. You've got plenty of time. You know how to meditate. So you do it. And you can die in that state. You'll be pronounced dead. And that'll be the cause for your rebirth in this state. Like I said, so you can do it while you're alive, just like this, experience states, just like that. Or it could take place at the time of death, and then you found yourself reborn into this realm. So this realm is primarily mental. Like I said, it's called the form realm, but the form is the energy of the mind. It's not like a gross body like this. Like I say, you can have it with a gross body like this right now, because it's the mind that does the changing. It's the mind, it's a form realm mind. It is the desire realm mind. We have a body for the desire realm, but we talk about these realms, they're about the mind. So in terms of, for a metaphor, right? So imagine if you're climbing a mountain. So, well, you're going to be climbing a mountain soon. You've climbed mountains, right? So you start off where you can actually breathe the air, don't you? Well, it's quite easy. But as you go up, it's not so easy, right? So the air becomes more refined. And your view is, like, greater. So as you're sort of like going up, it's like you're going to the former realm. And then when you get at the very top of it,
there's less stuff in the air.
That's right, there's less stuff in the air. You get a vast view. And this is like the formless realm. Yeah, just like I say, the mind just rests in the clarity of the view. You know, not many people have done this, so right? You don't get up there and start talking. You just look at it and just like, wow. You sort of marvel at it. So this is a bit like this, like the formless realm, which is our next one. So the causes for this are to develop and maintain the corresponding absorption before death. Again, it's just a concentrated state. And within that state, there are these, so there are four realms here. And so what does that mean? You know, so well, it's a mental experience. So like when if you have this experience in this body, which you could do, what you will experience is like infinite space. That would be your experience. Then there would be infinite consciousness. Then infinite nothingness. And then last one is what they call the peak of samsara. So these are the realms, the type of experience you would have. So the peak of samsara means you can't go any further. This is, to go further, you need the wisdom realizing emptiness, which means you've got to go way back there. And you probably won't because this is so great. Right? Yeah. So, to go, you cannot, this, you remain here. This is samsara. There's no obvious suffering. There's no feeling of that. There's no feeling of happiness. There's no feeling of unhappiness. There's no feeling at all. You're still alive. You're still conscious. Ruby? Oh, well, hang on, Ruby. I'll just do this next one and then we'll come to it. So these are all the rebirths within cyclic existence. But they can also have rebirth like not within cyclic existence. So I'll just mention that to you. Yeah? And that is what they call rebirths in pure lands. So we look at this in terms of these rebirths. We have five types of pure abode within samsara, and then after that, it's outside samsara. So in other words, so those who abide within samsara in this pure abode are the people who have like you could have perceived emptiness, right? But you haven't got out. Because just perceiving emptiness is a start. It's just a start. You've still got all your delusions there. They haven't all been wiped out. Just the conceptual delusions have been wiped out. 80 conceptual wrong ideas that you have fall away when you discover the nature of reality. But you've got all the causes are still there for all your delusions. So you spend a long time getting rid of them through the merging of concentration and wisdom realizing emptiness. Now that's what we call the path. So that takes time. But because you understand emptiness and because you've got this renunciation, you can take a Still in samsara, but you're on your way out. You still have a lot of control within samsara. So this is called the pure abodes. Now, outside samsara are called the pure lands. So these are created through the virtue and concentration and wisdom of enlightened beings. So they have what they call the pure land of Sukhavati. Each Buddha has a land. You know, so when we did this, the offer of the mandala, we went, right, I see my body, all my virtues, everything as a pure land. And I offer it to the Buddhas. This is one of the causes for that. This is what they're sort of getting at. So the enlightened beings, that's what they do. It's like this body, like everything that I have, is for others. Let them inhabit this type of existence. And they're going to go, okay, well, how do I do that? You're going to go, well, you have to want to. So again, so you have this intention. So it's often said, and Rabindranath has now come and going, I'm aiming for the pure lands. I don't want to come back here. I want the pure lands. I'd rather sit there in that place and take all the teachings from the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Thank you. You go, yeah, good idea. So Tina Turner's practice was aimed at the pure lands. Now she did that Japanese recitation of that sutra and sung it. That's based, it's a pure land practice. So many people, if you're intelligent enough and think, okay, perhaps, presume it's all mental here. And you're like, when you have dreams, you're creating a land, and oftentimes in our dreams, don't we? We create an environment and we're in it. Yes,
Angela's wondering, is that still Mahayana?
Definitely. Definitely. The pure land stuff is definitely Mahayana, Angela. Yeah, in fact, yeah, definitely. It's definitely not the lower systems. They don't have anything like that in it. And these rebirth presentations, with all these lands and so forth, and how it takes place, there's three sort of explanations. We have a presentation from the sutra systems, which is what you'll mostly come across. So, you hear, it's mainly sutra presentation. There's also a highest yoga tantra presentation and a medical presentation.
As in Tibetan medicine.
Yeah, as in Tibetan medicine. That's right. But the thing is, wherever you found yourself within this thing called samsara, it's always suffering. It's just the degree. It can be very, very subtle. We don't even recognize it. It's not pain. But it's like you have no, you can't really exert control over it. It's in the control over with karma. It's the things that you've done before, that's the controlling process. When you're no longer doing them, at some stage it's going to collapse. And you can't, like I said, you can't stay there. It's unstable. And that's what they mean by the suffering. It's not under your control. In the that's right. Yeah?
What
to say? So in the formless realm, there's no illness or aging. That's right. You don't have a body that could support that. Yeah. The body in the form and formless realm is the energy of your own mind. They call that wind. It's mental. The human realm. Yeah.
So that's
yeah. If this is in samsara, it would be the realm of the humans within the desire realm. Yeah.
Has the most
opportunity to help others. Because it's in this realm that you can bring about enlightenment. It's easiest in this realm. Yeah. So that's why you make these aspirations to either be enlightened, that this life we've lived has been so skillfully lived that we find ourselves enlightened at the end of it. We think, okay, if not that, then I don't want to have the causes for future suffering, myself or that I created for others. If that doesn't take place, I want to be reborn with the leisure and opportunities to engage in my spiritual path again as a human. Sandy says this makes her think of Lama Yeshe's rebirth within the realm of desire to help others. Yeah. So you see this happen again and again with the great lamas, so that's why they go searching for the rebirth.
And we're searching for Lamas Oprimche's.
That's
rebirth.
Right. So if you're saying so, so search for Lamas Oprimche's rebirth at present.
So with the Pure Land, if we're, you know, we're dying, we haven't got enlightened yet, and so if we pray to be reborn in a Pure Land, that's really quite different from form and formless realms, isn't it? So
yes, it is. Yep.
Is what gets us into the Pure Land has got to be a mind of altruism, doesn't it? Because
yes.
Otherwise,
it's not just the wish. You know, I mean, the wish, it's like wishing for the lottery, right? Don't buy a ticket, you're lucky you're not going to get it. So it's not just the wish. You still have to be a virtuous life. You still want to renounce the cause of suffering. You still have to have bodhicitta. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's right. So aspirational prayer helps. Yeah. So at one level, it seems like really simple, but it's not. You look at the sutras describing it, oh my God, that's really difficult to do. You know, because there's a lot of imaginative processes. Like I said, it's dependent upon the mind. The mind created. Thank you. Okay, so that's due for what's interesting for the moment. I mean, like I said, yeah, I mean, this material is probably so new to most of you, you won't be able to even formulate a question, but probably take a bit of time later on. So let's do our first meditation. So just get comfortable in your seat.
Oh, sorry, there's just one question here from Anthea. The realms are the energy of the mind. So the desire realm occupied by pleasure or suffering, and the form realm is limited by the forms we perceive or appearances?
No, in the form realm, it is virtuous minds and non-virtuous. Sorry, virtuous minds and neutral minds. But they're the causes. So that's what they experience there.
And it's just subtle energy? It's not...
Subtle energy can join with a subtle mind. It's the mind and its energy. Okay, so let's do our meditation. So again, just get comfortable in your seat. Have your back straight. Let your shoulders relax. So just try to keep your head like on a neutral position. So it's balanced on the neck. It's not looking down at the feet. It's not looking up in the sky. The head is evenly balanced, straight ahead. Your eyes are closed. And you let your body breathe itself. And then all thoughts soften. So there's just awareness. And now direct this awareness to this reflection we're about to do for the benefit of all beings. Think that you wish to free yourself from suffering and its causes, and you want to help others do the same. Now, if you think about something that you desire, so please do that now. What do you desire? So the mind moves to this object, the object of desire. And in response to the object, there is craving to have the object and not to be separated from it. In other words, craving to possess the object and aversion to loss of that object. This is the mind of the desire realm. Primarily craving and aversion. But sometimes you can just focus the mind on an object and the mind becomes very calm. For instance, you could focus your mind right now on the breath. Not so much the breath, but just how the movement of the breath affects the body. and the mind calms. So it's just settling the mind on an object is just like the form realm. The mind is stable, it's firm, it's just on one thing. But then I lift the mind from the breath, from the object of the breath, and just let the mind become open, spacious and aware. And this is like a formless realm. Now, what you'll notice about these realms is that no matter how pleasurable or refined it is, it changes. It's impermanent. It's ultimately not satisfying. So we need to develop a sort of a gentle renunciation towards these states and seek a freedom beyond temporary highs and lows. So rebirth in the three realms is like downloading different apps to your phone. Each will create a particular experience environment. It'll have its own features and limitations, but none of them permanently defines the phone. So none of these rebirth states permanently define you, whether it be the form realm, the formless realm, or the desire realm. Which means you can always install something different when the conditions change. So here's a question for you. How might awareness of these three states help when you feel overwhelmed by desire or aversion? If you recognize these states as temporary experiences, and they're just arising from causes and conditions, then you can create space to respond with wisdom rather than reaction. So acknowledging the, or having knowledge of these realms, how might the form realm concentration support your work or relationships? By training your mind to focus, you can foster a calm and clarity amid distractions. And how might the emptiness of all these realms shift your relationship to suffering? By realizing that nothing is fixed, you loosen the grip of fear and craving. So we're reflecting on these mental realm states, which color the mind right now. Try to bring more wisdom to it. Let your awareness inspire compassionate responses. And with each breath, always remember that freedom is possible right here, right now, with this mind that we have. And breathing in through your nostrils, exhale. Let your eyes flutter open, move your body around, and get comfortable once again in your seat. So now we're going to have a look at the causes that produce these rebirth states in these realms. So these causes are called actualizing causes, and then the effects that are actualized. And I'll give you an example. So we're going to use this example. So this picture of this woman dying in the bed, we'll give her the name Pat, Patricia. So at the end of her life, as she is dying, Patricia becomes angry and upset because the people around her are arguing and creating commotions. We probably do that ourselves. We get sick and people do that. It's just like, shut up. Like, get out of here, leave me alone, right? So we have this mind of aversion to what we're experiencing. We want it to stop. So that mental state prompts a craving and clinging. These are links 8 and 9 in the 12 links of dependent arising. So this mental state prompts craving and clinging to nourish the seed of destructive karma created, which is link 2, when she previously shouted at her children, priming this new moment, priming it to bring a new rebirth. That's link 10. So we have craving, clinging, that's 8 and 9. Karma, link 2, becoming, link 10. But she's already got a cause that was done previously. Now, clinging this thing here for this, but it kicks off the seed. So her next rebirth, because it's negative, right? So now she's going to be born in the lower realms. And this is, for instance, suggests it's as an animal and chosen the screech owl. And as soon as she's born as this being, what's going to happen instantaneously? Second moment after birth, sooner you start to age. And aging leads to, so there we have, and this, we have this birth that takes place, and then aging, da 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 da, and so forth. So her subsequent rebirth is linked to 11 as the hour, and the inevitable aging and death links 12. Along with the arising of the new aggregates, the consciousness, the name and form, the six sources, contact, feeling of an owl, are the results projected and actualized by this causal chain. So that's in terms of like two rebirths. Like it's like, imagine she's here, but or you're here in this life, you die, and the last thing you have is this aversion to what's happening around you. Because it's negative, but its result must be negative. And so it's rebirth in the lower realm in samsara. That's it. In a nutshell, that goes on. But many times rebirth doesn't take place like that. It takes place over 3 cycles. So we'll go through that one. Okay. So here's a new story. Now, Pat, she's still in hospital. She's dying. But previously, right? So motivated by compassion, Patricia regularly volunteers at a hospital where she gladdens the hearts of people who need support and comfort. And so this is a set of 12 links and leaves the seed of virtuous karma on her consciousness. Now, at the time of her death, she rejoices in her own and others' kindness and good deeds. And this virtuous mental state activates links, 8, 9, and 10, just like before. And just like I said, activates these links that began with her volunteer work. Her consciousness is attracted to take birth in the body of a human being. And the projected and actualizing results of that set of links occur. New consciousness, birth, aging, name, all that sort of stuff goes on. But meanwhile, the karmic seed of her harsh speech that she did to her children before, that remains on her mind stream. Until in some future life, its links, 8 to 10, craving, grasping, becoming, are activated. And then they lead to an unfortunate birth. So in that case, a set of 12 links associated with a harsh speech occurs over 3 lifetimes.
Much later.
Yeah. So the negative karma here was the harsh speech. Right? Either she was yelling at her children, and because of the negativity of just 3-4 rebirths, so there's the karma, it's already done. Now you've got craving and grasping, actualizes that seed, rebirth as a street child in the lower realms. However, this time she's died in the hospital, people aren't arguing and so forth. It's easy. She's dying. She remembers, I'm so pleased people are looking after me. I remember when I was looking after others. May all beings have happiness and so forth, right? So a virtuous seed arises. And then she passes. There's still craving and clinging going on, but it's towards the virtue. So it produces a similar result. Rebirth as a human being, and she can engage again in her path. So that's the minimum thing that we want for ourselves, right? So I'll just leave it and then go into this next step, which will probably interest you, my friend. But however, so just if you're going to ask questions about this, just ask about this, right? Otherwise, we can talk about it upstairs. So it's not that you just have this virtuous thought or non-virtuous thought, and then you die, and hello, here you are as a human being, or as a screech owl. There's a time limit. There's a limit of time that goes by. It's not instantaneously. This passage of time is called bardo. It's the in-between state. The state is between this life and the next life, either as an owl or as a human being. So now we all know, don't we, that part of our what we find ourselves here is in the womb of our mother. Most of us probably have no idea what the heck happened in there, but we were there at one stage, right? And before that, we know that some of the physical causes required stuff from our mum and stuff from our dad. Those are two, they're physical, that's physical stuff. Like physical stuff is not the major cause of a human being, of anybody. It's consciousness. So where's the consciousness? So that's what we want to talk about. What's going on with consciousness before it merges with the physical material? So before we take rebirth in any realm, well, especially the desire realm is an intermediate state. If in the form and formless realms, you find yourself there, basically. There's no intermediate state. That's because of your consciousness concentrated. This rebirth state, is you don't have control over your consciousness, so it's very different. It's going to experience sort of frightening phenomena, or pleasant phenomena, because you're going to have a virtuous, a good rebirth. So what do I put here? So we have the lower realms and the upper realms. This is what we have, the in-between state of the bardo. During this in-between state, the consciousness is embodied in a ghost-like between body. Remember, the body is consciousness. It's the wind, the energy of mind. So you've got mind and this energy. And it's made of subtle energies which are structured by the imagery in the mind. So it's like, see, when you dream, it's your mind that creates a dream, isn't it? Yeah. So that this is, and you can know that your dream states will be quite heavily influenced on by what you eat, right? So you've got this physical stuff and mental stuff coming together and producing an appearance in your mind that is a dream. And most of us don't realize it's a dream. It's possible to, sometimes you can be, but most of us don't recognize it as a dream. We take it as our reality and we're in it. And we're affected by it. We don't realize it's our own mind that has created everything that we're experiencing. Yeah? If it's a great dream, we love it. We think, oh, I had this great dream last night, and this is what happened to me. Yeah? And if it's a horrible dream, we'll say, oh, it's a terrible dream, and this is what happened to me.
That's after.
It's always after, right? But you think it's like, so it was this dream, this thing you call dream. It's mental, right? And our who we are in that dream is mental, and we always see ourselves separate from it. You know, we don't realize this dream is our mental environment, just like this is. And we behave in that dream with fear or desire. But it's interesting, you know what I'm doing? When you have dreams, look for yourself. In fact, there's a technique where, I like this technique where you look for your hands in your dream. Because if you can find your hands, you'll know you're dreaming. You sort of look back and go, like, where am I? And you go, oh my God, it's a dream. And then you can start manipulating and moving about. You know, so there's a subtle sense of self in this dream. And the world, the dream is created by the mind itself. This is the same as Bardo. Like we have the dream is the Bardo of dream. It's called a Bardo of dream, the dream Bardo. This other Bardo, it's the same thing, it's an in-between state. The Bardo of the dream is the in-between state of sleep and awakening. You know, you come out of it, don't you? You'll wake up. Yeah? This one is the barter between one life and the other, an in-between state. And just like a dream, we don't recognize it. We think everything around us has nothing to do with us, and I'm in this strange place, moving along. So the barter is like a subtle state. It's an embodiment of consciousness. And it arises through the stages of this dissolution process we've been going through as we've been dying. When I talk about, oh, we've got the black, we've got the red, the white, there's this thing in you, the clear light of death, you don't recognize any of it. And then it reverses. And that's the Vata. And like I said, it's out of our control. Unless you've trained yourself, you can't control it. And so different weird stuff happens to us in there. And most of the time the only way you recognize is by training it like now. And so many of the great meditators, that's what they're doing. And they're bringing into the state the wisdom that realizes emptiness and compassion. Because like compassion goes against fear. It goes against all the negative stuff. So if you go into this with a mind of compassion, concentrated compassion, and just imagine it's infused with emptiness, then you know, oh, this is all dependently arising. No need to freak out. In fact, you won't get anything to freak out because you're going into it with wisdom. It's the mind. It's not that you have a wisdom mind separate from your experiences. Whatever the mind is at that time will create your environment and what you experience. So this is why it's really important like now to be like a good person, right? Have a good mind and a stable mind, because the mind, the Vata, is not stable. You're just, like I said, driven by the winds of your own consciousness. It doesn't go anywhere, create anything, and it will. The intermediate state body has illusory visions but not realizing that these are projected by its own mind, it experiences fear. It feels as if it's being blown about by uncontrollably from place to place by a strong red wind or a fierce storm, or it's caught in a noisy fire, or it's drowning. It's just a freak out. There are many frightening experiences. No time to relax in the intermediate state. So much fear. And anybody's had a nightmare, that's what it's like, isn't it? It's like, geez, you're trying to get away. Right? And the bardo state's like, same sort of thing. You can create your own fearful states. So it's the mind itself that creates both freedom and fear. So that's why it's really important to practice that. Because if you can create states of freedom, that's what you can bring into your death. If you're a fearful person now, that's what you're going to take, and they're even worse. So the idea here is like, so we are like travelers in this world, right? We don't remain, we're moving through. So like a traveler preparing for a journey through unfamiliar territory, preparing for the bardo, or this in-between state, is like gathering all the maps, learning the language, sort of understanding the customs before visiting a foreign country. Right? It's just so much easier, isn't it? Yeah. So this is the same as Dharma practice. Just try and make it easy on yourself. So when you die, not a problem.
5 minute call.
Okay, it's no longer interesting. Let's move on. There's a lot to think about. There's lots of books written about this. There's a book called The Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. There's a written book called The Tibetan Book of the Dead. It does a lot of this, talks a lot about this. But I want you to remember that, or think about it, that presentation is a particular presentation from a particular school, from the Nyingma tradition. That's their main way of doing it. And of course, the idea is become familiar with it now so you can go, okay, when this happens, it's like this. So when we die, there's nothing at all that'll be like what's in the Tibetan Book of the Dead. None at all. Like, it's consciousness created. So I'll just say, one time a little boy was pronounced dead. He'd fallen into a pond and died. He's dead for some time, pronounced dead, but they kept working on him and they resuscitated him. So he came back to life. They asked, well, what did you see? Yeah, and he said, teenage ninja mutant turtles.
Teenage mutant
ninja turtles. Yeah, I thought, of course you do. That's what you familiarize your mind with here. Right? It's like that, you know? And if you read these books about people who have died and so on, it's never the same. Of course, because we're not all the same. Where our minds are, you know, sort of similar, but they create different things. So we're going to create what we're used to creating, what we're familiar with.
I'm just thinking, because I am going overseas soon, there is a kind of a resistance that we have to like organizing insurance and visas. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking it's a really similar kind of resistance to preparing for my next death. You're kind of pushing and pulling, like, oh, I'll do it later. I've got time. I still got time. And then suddenly it's like, no time. Hurry, quick.
Yeah. This is our meditation, and we'll have to. So we've done the most important part of this course today, right? The next part is just like an addition. I thought might be interesting is no questions in any exam with this next material coming up. So let's just do this meditation and I'll quickly cover the rest. We're just sitting down, just take a deep breath. Exhale, let your body relax. And just feel your attention settling into this present moment. And relax. So just consider how knowledge of rebirth could actually help you free yourself from fear at the time of death. Knowing what happens, knowing what to do, can free you from the fears of unknowing. Now, the consciousness that we have flows like a river. It carries karmic seeds between lives. At death, there is no permanent self-transfer. There are only mental imprints shaping new aggregates. So without awareness, reactions that take place during the intermediate state propel us into rebirth. The relationship between lives is like successive chapters in a novel. Each builds on what came before, despite the changing characters. So what mental states influence rebirth? So your emotions in final moments activate karmic seeds, and these determine your next experience. So how might you be creating causes for future rebirth right now? So your current mental habits are rehearsals for patterns which will guide you through the bardo. So how might we remain aware through death? Recognize that all experiences are the projections of the mind. And by doing that, develop compassion for yourself and release attachment. And begin your training as soon as possible so that awareness can guide you through these transitions. And may your understanding transform fear into clarity and separation into connection. Okay, breathing in through your nostrils. Exhale. It's right on. Is your time say midday?
Pretty much.
Okay, so I've got about 4 or 5 slides. I'm just going to have to race through them, otherwise it's take too long. Okay, so the intermediate being enters the womb. So when this takes place, basically the state of consciousness, as soon as I enter, the state of the bardo finishes immediately. It's like they're going again, it's like a faint. We're like waking up from sleep. Right? The dream vanished. And you're here. It's the same here. Whatever was the bardo finishes, and now a new experience takes place when consciousness enters the blood and the sperm. The blood and the sperm come together. At that very time, consciousness enters too. And there's really quite distorted perceptions that take place just before it and while it's taking place. So it's perception and emotion that drive the rebirth through attraction and aversion. So like I said, what gives you the rebirth as a human being is virtue. That's the most, if you don't, if there's no virtue is not there, this is not going to happen. There's the virtue, but there's also the craving, the clinging, the ignorance. You haven't got rid of that, we're into a samsaric rebirth as a human being.
Because if it was just virtue, we'd be like in a pure realm, in a pure land.
Yeah, but because ignorance is with it, we're still in samsara. Because we have not correctly apprehended ourselves, our own environment, we get this stuff in rebirth. Yeah. We'll do it again. We've got to misapprehend it again, right? You end up in classes like this and go, oh my God, what am I been doing? I have to stop this. And making an attempt, you know. And you know, it's hard. It's not easy. Yeah, so how does this So this consciousness that enters into these the physical material, but what are its intrigues? How does it enter? So it says that these three different places can come in through the crown of the head, and then come down, get down through the mouth, or directly into the womb. But of course, there's lots of material here. We've got no time. I'll just tell you, the presentations. And again, remember, there's a sutra presentation, a tantra presentation, and a medical presentation, and they're all slightly different. So, sutras, Kala Chakra Tantra is a particular tantra. It's very different again from other tantras. But each one has an explanation. And remember, it's because it's the mind. That's why when the mind puts its focus, that becomes a reality. When birth takes place, there are basically four ways a being takes birth. So one is through egg. But so we know animals will take birth through eggs. Right? There's birth in the womb. He's in moisture. So many insect types of rebirth require heat and moisture. Then it's called spontaneous rebirth. That's for the form and formless realm. But there's no in between. Your mind has been concentrated here. It doesn't zip. The body falls away. Hey, you're where you always were. Right? The place you were here, it's the place you are there.
Is that because the body is like such a subtle body, or not even a physical body.
Yeah, that's right. So even here, it's like we're already in the form realm while we're in the desire realm body. The desire realm body falls away, we're still in the form realm. And we stay there, it depends upon how stable our concentration was. And so if we weren't able to do it for very long while we're in this body, we're not going to do it for very long there either. And so you quickly fall out. This body also dies. And now we'll go through some other states. The causes that support our entry or rebirth, it has to be desire and engagement, the fertility, presence, healthy women's sperm, and karma. It has to be a presence of the consciousness. So consciousness enters the womb when all necessary conditions align. The parents are engaging in intercourse. The mother has to be fertile. An intermediate being's presence is required. Healthy reproductive components and karmic connections between all parties. So again, when you look at this stuff, you go, wow, it's like so many causes and conditions that have to be in place.
That's why people try and get pregnant and they can't get pregnant.
Yeah, that's right. Because something is missing. Yeah. But it says, the intermediate being perceives the parents in union. And sometimes it's just an apparition. He just imagines it, but it makes no difference. It seems real to it. Yeah. And develops attachment to one parent and aversion to the other, based on its future gender. Through this distorted perception arising from past karma, the intermediate being's consciousness enters the fertilized ovum at conception, bringing with it all the karmic imprints from previous lives. This subtle consciousness, mounted on subtle wind energy, may enter through the father's crown, mouth, or directly into the mother's womb, depending on circumstances. As consciousness merges with the physical elements, the new being's aggregates form, establishing what Buddhism calls a name and form. So the consciousness is the name, and the form is the physical material of the father and mother providing. And this begins the process of a new life that will eventually manifest these six sensory faculties. But it'll make contact, it'll have feeling, and we're away again. Now you can see all these states of rebirth. So I like this quote. It says, to the wise, even the higher states give rise to fear, approximating the hells. And so just as a normal person would fear the hells, a wise person fears rebirth in any state within cyclic existence. Because it's all suffering. whether it's in the hells or whether it's in these highest form and formless realms. To them, it is rare not to continually generate fear of cyclic existence.
So really, if we're going to have any fear, we may as well have some intelligent fear and fear the lot.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. When you really go into in depth of it, you go, it's all no good. Wherever I am, I'm in the prison. Doesn't matter whether I'm in the library or in the solitary, I'm still in prison. It's no good. I can't see my family. Yeah, I think that brings us to our takeaway. So, if you do not liberate yourself from cyclic existence, you will be reborn there. That's what this is. That's really the purpose of showing you all these different realms and talking about it all. Go look. You want to know about them so you can avoid them. If you can't avoid them, then you need to find the best place within it to get yourself, have another shot at getting out. And there are these three realms of rebirth. So sometimes, so what are the three realms of rebirth in samsara, folks? What's one of them?
Desire.
The desire realm, right? The realm we find ourselves in. What's another one? Someone tell me another one. Sandy knows them all. I know she knows. Someone else tell me one. Form realm, excellent. And what's the last one? Formless realm, isn't it? A realm without form. Excellent. Thank you very much. I would like to take something away from here and understand that all of them are dependent upon a type of mind. This is why it's really important to try to get control over your mind. Well, you definitely need a virtuous. You definitely need a virtuous mind. It's better to have a virtuous mind that is subject to craving and clinging than to have a non-virtuous mind subject to craving and clinging. Because a virtuous mind subject to it can give you rebirth as a human being or a god realm. That's good. While you're in samsara, it's like saying it's good to have a job in the library or the kitchen rather than to be in solitary confinement. Of course, this is all desire realm, right? But like I said, if it's good, but it's limited because it's still contaminated with ignorance. But it's much better than having an ignorant mind and being hateful. Right? That doesn't help us at all. So here's some material you might have like a look at. There's some notes on pages 5 to 8, and later 102 to 106. Next week we'll talk about the five forces that we can do like during life to prepare us for a good death. So when we face our own death, there are basically three ways. There are three good ways to face your own death and one very bad way, or two very bad ways, right? The two very bad ways are that you die with lots of regrets. I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd done this. I shouldn't have done that. So forth. And the other one is fear. This is the way not to die. No regrets, no fears. So the way to die is no regrets, at peace, or with joy. No regrets, peaceful death, or joyful death. Joyful is not easy, but could be.
So anyway, what you're saying is that's what we're doing next week.
Well, I'm just saying this is how, like, so tonight when you go to sleep, right? How are you going to go to sleep? The sleep is just like a death, right? This world fades. We find ourselves in another one, the bardo again. How are you going to enter your sleep state? You know, you can practice that now. So that when you just know this is just another sleep, isn't it? So practice now, like go to bed and go, is there anything I regret about today? Go, no, great, I could die like that, no regrets. Is it, my mind peaceful? Yeah, it is, great, it's good. How about joy? Do you have any joy about going to sleep tonight? Think about something joyful, create some joy, go to sleep. And just think of all the wonderful teachers that have taught us this material and of the Buddha, the Sangha and the teaching itself. And because we embrace this understanding, we want to do something with it. Now think. Due to the merits of his virtuous actions, may I quickly attain the state of a Guru Buddha and lead all living beings without exception into that enlightened state. So the best mind to take into death is the enlightened mind, bodhicitta. May the supreme dual, bodhicitta, not yet born, rise and grow. May that born have no decline but increase forevermore. And as long as space remains, as long as sentient beings remain, may I too remain to dispel the sorrows of the world. And in a prayer for His Holiness the Dalai Lama, the wish-granting, wish-fulfilling dual, source of every single benefit and happiness in this world, to the incomparably kind Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be spontaneously fulfilled. And for the quick finding of love as Lama Rinpoche, in holding and spreading the Moody's precious and complete teachings through explanation and practice, you wore the armor of patience that is never discouraged. Incomparable Venerable Guru, to you, and make this request.